This Bible talk, titled Limits and Limitations, is on Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It's the third sermon in our Beginnings series in the book of Genesis, and it was recorded at Robina on Sunday the 14th of February, 2021.
It all started with the sundial. As far back as 200 BC, people were complaining about this new technology and what it was doing to society. A Roman playwright, Plautus, turned his anger into poetry when he said, "The gods confound the man who first found out how to distinguish hours. Confound him too, who in this place set up a sundial to cut and to hack my days so wretchedly into small portions." The next time you're running late for a meeting, just quote a little Plautus, "The gods confound a man." In the 6th century, St. Benedict organized monastic life around the 7 times of prayer every day. But by the 12th century, the monks had invented a mechanical clock to call the monastery to prayer. In 1370, the first public clock tower was built in Cologne in Germany. Before that, though, time was natural. Time was linked to the rotation of the earth on its axis and the 4 seasons. You went to bed with the moon and you woke up with the sun. Summer days were long and busy, short and slow during the winter months. But there was a rhythm to a day and to a year, a pattern. Life was dominated by agrarian rhythms, free of haste, careless of exactitude, unconcerned by productivity. But the clock changed all that. It created artificial time, the 9-to-5 slog of all year round. We stopped listening to our bodies, even though they weren't done resting, and we started rising to the oppressive siren of our alarm clocks. We became more efficient by being more machine-like, more human doing, less human being. When the sun set our rhythms of work and rest, it did so under the control of God. But the clock is more controlled by the employer, and it's far more demanding as a master, isn't it? But then in 1879, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Probably not that one. Suddenly it was possible to stay up past sunset. Activity wasn't limited to daylight hours. Before the invention of the light bulb, friends, the average person slept 11 hours a night. The average number of hours sleep per night now is 7. In less than 150 years, we've lost 4 hours of sleep every night. Is it any wonder that we're exhausted all the time? So often you'll hear talk about reaching your potential and living your best life now, but we never hear inside or outside the church is the message to accept our limitations. We live in a culture that wants to transgress limitations, not to accept them. We hate restrictions being placed upon us. We resist not being able to do whatever we want whenever we want to do it. We want to cheat time and space. We want to be like God, to watch every new film, to listen to every podcast, to read every new book, to hear every album, to go to every concert, to take every road trip, to travel to every country. Another stamp in the passport, please. To eat at every new restaurant, to fix every problem, to win every award, and to make every list of somebody who's important. But listen, I've got some really good news for you. Actually, it's great news. You can't do it all. And neither can I. We are human. Time and space and one place at a time. We can't do all of that omnipresent God stuff. We have limitations and lots of them. There is simply no way to do it all, not this time round. Our limitations aren't something that we should fight against. They are something that we need to learn to embrace, and that's what this morning's talk is all about, learning to embrace our limitations. Genesis teaches us how to live God's way in God's world. That's what Torah means, instruction. We're learning here, friends, what it means to be human. We're in our series called Beginnings, and it all begins in the book of Genesis. And so far we've seen that when it comes to being human, the defining narrative for us is the image of God. Image and dust, that's what we are. And that's what we saw last week, if you're here with us. We're handfuls of dust. with immortal longings. We're made in God's image and likeness. We rule like he does. We reflect his glory. But we're also made from the dirt. We're the original biodegradable containers, you and I. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Adam, the man, Adam, comes from the Adama, the dry ground. We're not God. We're born with limitations. We're not mortal. We are mortal, we're not immortal. We're finite, not infinite. Image and dust, potential and limitations. We are bound by time and space and our bodies. We weren't created to do it all, so we can't be everywhere. We can't know everything. We can't do everything. We're not God. He made us with limitations. And he built limitations into his creation. I want you to see that with me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the words on the screen here behind me. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate day from the night. And let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Look, I know it's hard for us to believe what with our 300 days of sunshine a year living up here in the sunshine state. But apparently in some parts of the world they have these things called seasons. Of course, Queensland only has two seasons. It's either hot or hot and wet. Or as my wife Corinne likes to explain it, it's either cricket season or football season. But God made the world with distinctions. Things were created in separate categories. Not everything is meant to run together. Not everything was made to be the same, not fluid, not in transition, not in confusion, but separation. And God said, and it was so. The heavens differentiated from the earth because the heavens give light to the world. Just as night follows day, see it in the passage? So day separates the night. The day governed by the great big ball of fire in the sky, the night ruled by that big round piece of yellow cheese. Days are separated from one another, years and seasons separated from one another too. The rhythmic pattern of winter and spring and summer and autumn is what determines the length of a year. There's a time for everything, not meant to be everything all of the time. Things start and things stop, things live and then things die. Everything is as the teacher says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time and a place and a season for everything. Not everything all at once, not everything all the same, not everything all the time. That's how God created the heavens and the earth. But the distinctions of category can also be seen in the living creatures that God has made. Here's what happens on day five. See it with me, Genesis 1, verse 20. And God said, "Let waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures of every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Apparently, there are fish that live in the sea. I mean, why else would anyone keep going fishing? I know at least one of you is going to come and tell me they have these things called flying fish, but generally, friends, fish are confined to the water. And birds, they belong in the sky, and that's exactly where we should always keep them. Does anyone want a couple of budgerigars? God makes these boundaries. God puts limitations on his creation. See it there. Fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, beasts of the field. God creates order. But man creates chaos. We invent these strange mythical hybrids, genetically engineered alternatives like the Sphinx or the Minotaur or Batman and Spider-Man, half human, half animal. We break creative boundaries. We blur these lines of distinction. And in our attempt to be more like God, we inevitably become less and less human. But God not only places limitations on creation, God also puts a limit on his creating. God, who created time, isn't bound by the limitations of time and space. God is omnipresent and omnipotent, which means he is everywhere and all-knowing. But he submits himself to time in order to rest. God sets the pattern for us to follow. Here again, the rhythm of the narrative of Genesis 1 is broken for a second time. The first time was at the creation of man, Adam. We saw that last week. The second time is for God to rest. The passage slowing us down, shifting our focus, changing its rhythm to capture our attention. See it with me, Genesis 2. I hope you've got it in front of you, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Have a really careful look at those verses again with me. They're not exactly the most efficient verses, are they? We could perhaps rewrite them ourselves and save a little bit of time. It's all just a little bit repetitive and it's not very succinct, is it? In the space of just two verses or two sentences, the words seventh day work and rest are repeated, along with the phrase all the work that he had done. But don't you see the frustration that we feel to correct and edit and to change and to be more efficient is really the beauty and the whole point behind these verses themselves. The text slows us down. God slows down. God, who reveals himself as creator, now reveals himself as the God who rests. God doesn't do everything all of the time. God rests. He stops. 6 days he creates. Day seven, he rests. God rests. And that's where this first creation account of Genesis 1 ends. God resting from all of his creativity. God finishes the work. He gives himself a very good and then takes the following day off. But why does the creation account in Genesis 1 extend to 7 days when only 6 of them are productive? Why include a 7th day? Well, just like the game of cricket is the only sport in the world that I know of which makes allowances for meal breaks, God enables limitations and builds in limitations into his creation because creation has to rest. If the Creator rested, friends, how much more do we, his creatures? God is eternal. He is invisible. He is infinite. He is heavenly in spirit, but we are made in the image and likeness of God. Yes, but we're mortal, aren't we? We're earthly, we're bodily, we're finite. We need to rest. Rest is what makes us different. Rest was supposed to separate Israel from the nations. God brought Israel up out of Egypt, and God commanded them to rest. With its foundation in creation, the Sabbath is the only commandment out of the Ten Commandments that requires 4 verses of explanation. See it with me now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the 7th day. God is holy. The Sabbath is holy. And so Israel is to be holy. Like the people, Sabbath is set apart. It's created to be different from every other day. Of course, the Jews took this idea of work and tried to over-define it. The Mishnah, a rabbinic interpretation of the law, what is known as the oral law, has 39 other laws which define the categories of labour that are strictly prohibited on the Sabbath. Last time I was in Israel, I was reminded just how extreme the definition of labour within Israel, within Judaism, is. The Sabbath elevator in the hotel room, in the hotel, stops on every floor of the building so that you don't have to lift a finger. The toaster goes missing from the hotel buffet at breakfast because it involves cooking and no toast. It's these significant definitions around work that put the Pharisees at odds with Jesus over Sabbath. Walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, the disciples start picking heads of grain, which according to the Mishnah, the oral law, is forbidden. And so the Pharisees, they make their accusations. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus says this to them: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift. God rested so that we can rest. God worked, man works. God rested, man rests. Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, he redeems what rest is. First century Jews needed to hear the second part of that statement from Jesus, didn't they? The Sabbath was made for man, not man from the Sabbath. But fast forward to 21st century Australia, and we're not exactly being legalistic here about the Sabbath, are we? We don't even practice Sabbath at all. A day off? Sure. Sunday church? When I can. But Sabbath? We don't really know what that is. God rested. Genesis teaches us that Sabbath is foundational to all of creation and therefore to us. So we really need to reconsider this again. Yeah, but I'm not really into the Sabbath. I'm an extrovert and like to stay busy. God rested. Yeah, I get the whole Sabbath thing, but I work a demanding job that I love and I can't afford the time. God rested. Yeah, but I've got two kids at home and it's just not doable right now. Maybe later when. God rested. Yeah, but I'm retired and I've never been so busy in my life. I don't have time to rest because I want to do everything while I still can. God rested. And in doing so, God built a rhythm into the DNA of creation, a tempo, a syncopated beat. Work six, rest one. And when we fight this work six, rest one rhythm, we go against the grain of the universe. And you know what happens when you go against the grain of the universe, don't you? You get splinters. But I want us to notice one other significant limitation that God established in creation. God places limits in his creation. God places limitations on his creating. We just saw that. And God also places limitations on us. Can you see that with me now? Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God places Adam, the man, within the confines of the garden. God gives Adam work to do. God bestows upon him dominion over the creation. God gives very clear parameters and limitations. Eat from every tree, just don't eat from that one. Limited to eat from every tree but one. And yet we fail to live within our God-given confines, don't we? We fail to surrender ourselves to God as Lord, even when it's for our own good. We always want to resist his lordship over us. Friends, Sabbath is a gift for our own good. Sabbath is a gift from God. Jesus redeems the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Here's my point. Sabbath means stop. Stop working, stop wanting, stop worrying. Just stop. We need to slow our lives down and to start choosing the things that really matter. Not the things that really matter to us, but the things that really matter to God. God made us to be in relationship with Him. God wants us to delight in Him. Sabbath is a day to surrender ourselves to God, not to be active, not to accomplish, but to trust, to surrender to the Lord of the Sabbath. Life is a series of choices, is it not? Every yes is 1,000 no's. Every activity that we say yes to is 1,000 other activities that we can't give our time to. And some of you are just too busy for God. We don't know how to be with God anymore. We don't know how to sit with Him because we don't know how to sit still. I want to teach you a new word. Are you ready? No. We need to learn how to say no. And we need to start saying no constantly. God gave us limitations. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should all buy sanitarium products at the supermarket and light candles at sunset on Friday nights, although feel free to do that. I'm saying we can't do it all. We weren't created to do it all. We're not God. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to do it all. Start the discipline of one day a week where we stop. Stop all the have-tos and all the must-dos and all the need-tos and all the want-tos so that we can delight in who God is. Embracing our limitations and resting in His Lordship. And just off the cuff, by the way, if we say that we're too busy when we have little kids to rest, what are we teaching our children? We need to teach them to stop too. Will you pray with me? Glorious God, we thank You that You are the Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, that You live and rule and have dominion over all things, and that despite our rebellion and sin, You sent Your only Son to have rule and dominion over us. Thank You that He is the one who comes through His death to redeem us and all that You've created. And thank You that in Your eternal plan of salvation exists the need to redeem rest. Not just sleep, but rest. Thank You that You have given us rest from all of our enemies through the cross of Christ. Rest from sin and death and the evil one. And we pray, Lord Jesus, in our busy 24/7 non-stop world, that we might learn to stop, that we might learn to delight in who You are, that we might be still, that we might not be afraid of the silence, but rather the silence might speak to us about who we are, of all that's going on for us in our eternal world, internal world, and our need to give ourselves to You, the Lord of the Sabbath. Would You help us? Would You save us from ourselves? From our need to do and to be and to experience and to participate in everything that comes our way? Instead, we pray, would You teach us to be still and to know that You are God? For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.